For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the show. I'm your host, Sensi, and on this podcast, we talk about taking accountability for your life to become the best version of yourself. Today's episode is going to be a bit different, or not different, but like back to basics. Because basically, I want to give y'all like a quick check-in, like update, and then we're going to talk about like lessons learned and stuff like that. So basically, I had a schedule. I created a new schedule where I was recording once a month, like in one week, I would plan, record, edit, and schedule all of the episodes for the month. So I haven't actually recorded a video in a minute because I've had them scheduled. And I also posted rewinds in between that because I was working on a big project and I needed the time. And I needed to like switch some things up in my life. But anyway, I say all that to say it's been a while since I actually recorded. So I have a lot of things I want to share that, you know, were not pre-planned. And this episode isn't scripted or anything. I literally just turned on the camera, so we'll see what comes out. So the first thing that I have learned is that, and I don't know if y'all have noticed, please leave a comment below, like give me feedback. I'm actually interested in learning what y'all have to say. If you're watching or listening on the audio, you can go to the link in the bio, the YouTube, to leave a comment if you want to say something. But I went down a path where I was trying to optimize my content for YouTube because I was like learning a lot of new things. I wanted to implement a lot of new things, and then I just wanted to like grow the platform, right? And I think I got to a point where I felt like I was kind of losing authenticity because I was trying to do too much optimizing for growth and you know, like flow of content and pacing and all of that. And on the back end, what you don't see obviously is when I was recording and editing, like it would take me a lot longer because there would be so many like bloopers because I was trying to say things in a concise way. I was trying to tailor the content in a certain way that I felt like would make it more, not digestible, but, you know, I was trying to keep it concise and whatnot because, you know, platforms and algorithms and attention spans and whatnot. But I just noticed like a lot of resistance and tension within me while I was doing that, while I was making the episodes. And I still think the content was good. I just feel like the delivery was kind of different, and different isn't always bad, but I just felt like I was going down a path where it was pulling away from my authenticity because I was trying to optimize for a platform too much. And there came a point in time where I I actually did not want to record anymore because I was planning topics and, you know, all of that stuff and titles and blah, blah, blah. And I would come to the point where, you know, it's time to work on my podcast and I'm looking at my Google Doc with the topics and the titles and trying to plan the content and da 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 da. And I just felt like it wasn't right, you know? I felt like I don't know, like sometimes you want to do something and you procrastinate or you put it off and you don't do what you need to do. But that's not what that was. That was me looking at it and just feeling so disconnected from the process that I was doing that I didn't want to do it anymore. And that's why we are here today, where I'm just going back to the basics and talking and just being open and transparent and not worrying about, you know, optimizing for a certain platform and edits and cuts and da 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 da. Because I realized that it's much easier for me to make episodes when I'm just being authentic, you know, like how I started off, just being open, just being obedient to what God has asked me to do, versus me trying to be some type of creator and then like trying to tailor things to a platform. Like I've gotten to a point where I don't want to tailor myself or my content to a platform. I just want to be authentic and it will resonate with who it resonates with. And, you know, if it's not for somebody, then it's not for somebody. Like I'm going to do the best I can to work on the back end with stuff that doesn't have to do with my actual delivery, like thumbnails and titles and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, I think I lost my focus. And I'm grateful for it because sometimes you have to do something to realize that it's not going to work. So you can go back to what actually does. You can go back to the basics or you can figure out what will work. Which brings me to my second point. I want to talk about our relationship with the term failure, right? And it's related to something else that I'll talk about in a second. But the reason why I want to talk about failure is because I was just talking to someone on my email list about this. Like, we let society dictate our definition of failure. And failure usually has to do with like not making a lot of money or not having some type of respectable, high-paying career or trying something and then it doesn't work out. But the reason why I believe I'm at a place where I'm at today, where I feel so fulfilled in what I do, is because I redefined or I changed my relationship with failure. I redefined what it meant to me. And ever since I did that, it has not been something that has been in my way, right? Because I just told you what society typically views failure as. What I redefined failure to mean to me a long time ago, years ago, was failure is literally just the process of crossing out a what if from my list. And what I mean by that is, if you're somebody like me who's very like passionate, curious, you get a lot of ideas, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, like we always want to do things, we always want to try things, we always get ideas for different things. There's so many things we want to explore. Even in like my personal life too, I just have like so many ideas, so many things I want to do. And until you actually try it, it's just a what if in your mind. It's just a thought that keeps plaguing you all the time. You keep thinking, maybe life would be different or better if I did this. Maybe it will improve if I did that. And when you have that what if, it just makes you feel like there's always something better outside of you. It makes you feel like the grass is greener on the other side. And that's a very negative or like toxic mindset to constantly have, because it means that you're never satisfied or fulfilled with where you are right now. So I made a decision years ago that I would not live with any what ifs or any regrets. So I redefined failure, which was my biggest obstacle back then, trying something and then it not working out. I redefined failure as the process of getting feedback for whether or not my what ifs are something that would actually work for me. So literally, it's just a process of crossing my what ifs off the list, so I don't have to live with the constant thought of what if I did this? Maybe things would look better if I did that. You know, it's literally just a feedback loop. So now when I do something and it doesn't work out, I just say, okay, that doesn't work. And I go back to doing what I was doing, or I try something else. And that's so important, because when you develop that mindset, when you start to look at failure that way, you don't let fear dictate your decisions or your inaction or your indecision. You don't find yourself paralyzed and feeling overwhelmed because you're afraid to do something that you really want to do because you're afraid it won't work out. It not working out is literally just feedback that, okay, that's not what you're supposed to do. Do something else. Try something else, or just go back to what you were doing. I think when we fear how people will think about us, when we fear how people will criticize us, what they will say when something doesn't work out, when you pair that with the society's definition of failure, that's what typically keeps people stagnant and makes people live with all of these regrets and what ifs. But once I changed my definition and my relationship with failure, that has been something that just, like, it stopped holding me back. I stopped fearing what people will think, or things not working out, or things not working out in public. I had to change my relationship with failure before I started my podcast, because this is a public platform. Whether it has a million viewers or not, just one person that I don't know, like, that's important to me, right? Because I want to make sure I'm delivering value, or, you know, I'm being authentic and sharing something that helps somebody, even if it's just one person. So to me, just having a platform, putting myself out there when I was so reserved and I don't even have like a personal social media presence myself because I just don't care to me, putting myself out there was a big risk, or I saw it as a big risk, and I was so afraid to do that. But once I changed my relationship with failure, it's like, okay, well, if I do this, then I'll just do something else. But the nagging feeling, that little whisper that kept telling me, you need to do this, you need to start a podcast, you need to do this, it would not go away. So I had to change my relationship with failure in order to get rid of the indecision or the stagnation, or me just feeling like so afraid and not doing anything about it and feeling like there's something else I should be doing. I had to change my relationship with failure in order to take that first step to get to where we are today with you listening to me, right? So that's the first thing that I wanted to share with you, is to change your relationship with failure so it stops holding you back. Now, the second thing, and the reason why I brought that up, is because I've been talking to my email subscribers about, you know, like, the process of becoming the best version of yourself, which is what this whole show is about. And I realized that a lot of people struggle with procrastination. It's not that you don't know what you want to do. It's that you keep putting it off for some reason. You keep delaying the things that you know you're supposed to do that will help you become the best version of yourself. Like, there's just something that keeps making you indulge in distractions or put things off instead of doing what you're supposed to do, right? And I struggled with procrastination for a very long time, for years, because there are so many things that I wanted to do that took so long because of my procrastination. And I realized that procrastination is not as simple as we try to make it out to be. Procrastination is like it's a self-sabotaging behavior that is usually because of a plethora of reasons, like having people-pleasing tendencies, being a perfectionist, or your fear of failure, the fear of uncertainty, right? Not knowing what will happen if you take that leap of faith. And sometimes even the fear of success, like, it's a bunch of reasons. And I actually struggled with all of those reasons. And that's why there was a quote unquote delay in a lot of the things that I did, because I procrastinated for so long. But I have finally gotten to a place where I don't struggle with procrastination like I used to. And I actually made like a free guide. It's just a PDF download to like show you the steps of what I did to do that. And you can click the link in my bio to get it. And I will also leave it in the description and the comments on YouTube. But I created this guide because I realized that I'm coming on here trying to help people become the best version of themselves and sharing my process as well. But the biggest problem that some people have is procrastination. It's just taking that first step. By the way, if you're not on my email list, I would highly recommend you joining, okay? That's where I actually build community with my audience. I know my presence on social media is not, you know, but emails, like I actually email my listeners, my audience. I actually email like the people that support me. Like that's where I share more of my life and myself. And like I give y'all personalized tips and stuff like that. So make sure you join my email list. So that was a very important learning lesson for me because I didn't realize like I was coming on here and sharing XYZ. And I didn't know what y'all were actually struggling with. So now I know I can make more tailored content to what y'all need. Building off of what I said about the fear of failure, right? The fear of failure leads us to procrastinate, right? Putting things off. And one of the things that I've realized, or it's more of a mindset shift that I've had, is that procrastination is literally us being arrogant in thinking that tomorrow is promised, that we'll get another opportunity to do what we are being called to do today. And I was watching an episode of the Mel Robbins podcast. It was the interview she did with Stephen Bartlett. And he said something that I was thinking about, but I like the way he said it, so I'm going to reference what he said. He basically said that if you are doing something right now that you don't want to do and you want to do something else, you know there's something else you want to try, you are actually a very big risk taker because you are, number one, assuming that you have more time to procrastinate and put that thing off, and then later on you can try doing that thing. You assume that tomorrow is promised. And I'm paraphrasing, I wish I remember what he said specifically, but basically when we procrastinate and we put things off, we are acting so arrogant because we believe that there will be another opportunity tomorrow to do that thing, or there will be another opportunity for us to even wake up tomorrow, right? We are actually, when you decide to remain out of alignment with what it is you really want to do or what it is you really want to try, you are taking the biggest risk possible because you are betting your mental health, your sanity, your happiness, your joy. You are betting your entire future. You are betting your youth. You are betting years of your life in doing the most riskiest thing, which is staying out of alignment. You're actually a big risk taker because you don't know how that will affect your mental health down the line. You don't know how that will affect the quality of your life, but you're choosing to remain there. And you're taking that risk thinking that you will get another opportunity to do what you really want to do tomorrow. And let me just say this. I haven't lost anyone close to me personally, like people that I was really close to, but there have been several people that I knew or knew of or had an interaction with that I either found out they had passed away or they passed away at some point during that time. And it was all people who were in my age range and who were younger than me. And every time one of those situations happened, every time somebody my age or close to my age passed away, it literally would just make me pause. Like I didn't have to know the person personally, but it would just make me pause and really think about life, because that person who passed away at my age could have been longing for marriage, for example. They could have been longing for marriage and a husband, and they spent the entirety of their lives or their adult life, their 20s, worrying about finding a man, getting married, having children, doing all of these things that they don't have right now. They spent the majority of their 20s talking about all the things that they didn't have, all of the things that they wanted to achieve in the future, and they never enjoyed the present moment, and they passed away and never experienced those things. And I'm not saying this to bash the wanting. I'm saying this to give you a new perspective. If, God forbid, I were to pass away tomorrow, then that means that marriage was not in God's plans for me. So why would I spend my life dwelling on the things that I don't have, or feeling like I'm unfulfilled or incomplete or unhappy because I don't have XYZ, when I don't even know if I will get that? You see what I mean? And I'm not just talking about marriage and relationships, with your career too, right? You don't know, like, I don't know if the ideal life that I see in my head, right? My future, my vision that I want, that I believe God placed in my heart. I don't know if, like tomorrow is not promised. I don't know if all of the desires of my heart will be fulfilled in my lifetime. I don't know if I will get some of the things that I really want based on, you know, my ego or just my own needs, my own desires. Like, it's not going to move the needle for anybody or help anybody, but it's just something I want. I don't know if I will live to get that. So why should my entire existence, my entire self-esteem, my entire self-worth be based on attaining something that I don't know if I'll ever get?
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 for $10 on select Kellogg's Giant Size cereal with your card. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You see what I mean? Every time somebody passes away, and there was just somebody that I followed who passed away, that put things into perspective for me again that I was reflecting on in the past few weeks. That's why I'm sharing this with you. Like, when you pass away young, it's like, I think about my 20s. Ever since I turned 24, I feel like my brain has just started forming. Like, every year there has been something. And I don't necessarily mean something bad. I mean, like, it's just me realizing things. Like, my frontal lobe is forming. I'm just like shifting my perspective. I'm growing a lot. I'm maturing a lot. And I'm just realizing a lot of things. So, but also at the same time, with all of these existential crises where I'm thinking, like, what is my life? Like, what am I doing? What am I here for? What is my life? What is my purpose? Like, is this that? Am I on the right path? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all of these things that I think a lot of us in our 20s struggle with, and like just trying to figure out life. Like, one day you up, one day you down. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a roller coaster. So I think about all of that. And when I think about the people my age who pass away, I'm just like, it makes me present. It makes me grateful for everything that I have right now. And it puts me in the present moment, because I realize that the things I want, I don't know if I will get it. Like, I don't know if I will live to see it. And I'm not trying to be morbid or negative. I'm just saying, like, I realize that the most important thing that I can do is, number one, remain close to God, and number two, be present. be present and be grateful for everything that I have, reflect on how far I've come, and not always be so concerned with where I'm going or what I don't have yet, or the gap between where I am and where I'm going. And the reason why I say remain close to God is because in the past couple of weeks since I last recorded, I had like a very beautiful moment, an intimate moment with God, where he gave me something that I really wanted and he confirmed something for me. And even if I was so happy to receive that thing, I found more joy and fulfillment by being in his presence than I did by attaining the thing. Because it was like a reward from God, you know, it was like a pat on the back. Because sometimes as a Christian, sometimes I question if I'm doing things right. I'm just being honest. I'm just being transparent. Sometimes I question if I'm doing things right. Sometimes it's hard for me to be obedient, like immediately in the things he asked me to do, because of worldly things and perceptions that hold me back. So sometimes I struggle, and I tend to feel bad sometimes if I feel like I'm being disobedient. But the fact that he still gave me something that I wanted, it was like confirmation that, yes, I still love you, and you don't have to be perfect for me to love you, you know, because I see your heart, and that's what's important. And because of, you know, everything, and, you know, I know I'm being vague, but, you know, it's something that's in the works. Eventually, you will see the fruit, okay? So don't worry about that. But I found myself more satisfied and fulfilled and overwhelmed with joy and gratitude and peace just by being in his presence and spending time with him during that point in time versus how I felt when I got what I wanted. And the crazy thing is, I already knew this. I already knew what I was about to tell you. But I think sometimes we forget that fulfillment comes by being in the presence of God. The peace comes by being in the presence of God. That thing that we are chasing, the happiness, the joy, the fulfillment, the peace, all of these things come from being in the presence of God. Like, it's literally the fruits of the Spirit, right? So when we try to chase those things or pursue those things in worldly or material things, we get those things and then we don't feel the fulfillment. We feel happiness or maybe proud of ourselves for a few minutes, but it's never something that's sustainable. The only way that's actually sustainable is when we stay in the presence of God. It's literally the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For such there is no law. Like, literally the things that we want, we find that by being in the presence of God, by having the Holy Spirit within us. But so many times, because of this bubble that we live in, because of our reality, because of what's around us, we tend to think that, we tend to forget that, or we don't know that, and we try to pursue worldly things and money and you know, like the house, the car, the job, the this, the that, the platform that we think will bring those things, but it's not going to. And a lot of times people try to pursue those things and they try to leave God out of it because they want his promises and his blessings, but they don't want to give credit to who it's going to come from. And that's why a lot of people are unfulfilled. I'm not saying that to be judgmental. I'm saying that because that's something I observed. That's why a lot of people are not happy despite everything that they have. That's why a lot of people are not satisfied. They still feel like something is missing. A lot of people don't have joy even though they have a lot of money, because they thought those things would be what would make them happy. They thought those things would be what would give them importance, what would give them status. And they got those things and they still didn't feel what they wanted to feel, or they maybe felt it for a second, but it wasn't sustainable. But I realized, and I'm so grateful for this revelation, I'm so grateful for this reminder that I got, that joy is found in the presence of the Lord. Like, literally, like, when I tell y'all God has been working on me in the background, when I tell y'all God has been working on me in the background, because if I'm being fully transparent, right, I was on a path in corporate where I was the type of person who thought these things would bring me fulfillment or these things would bring me happiness. I thought that that was what made you successful. I'm just being honest. I was one of those people down that path. And when I had, you know, all of these things on that path, it never brought me the type of joy and fulfillment that I have right now. And so I am so grateful, like, literally becoming a Christian and like the type of Christian who prioritizes a relationship with God and not like religion and checklist things like just going to church, doing this, but like actually spending time with Him. That has literally been the best decision I have ever made, because I feel like all of my wisdom, all of my knowledge comes from that, literally. Like, just the revelations that I get, like, everything comes from that. I realized that all of the pain and the quote-unquote existential crises that I've had has literally been just an unlearning process of all of the things that I thought would bring me the fruits of the Spirit, and then God showing me that, no, you actually get those things by being in my presence. And then if you seek me first, if you put me first, then all of these things will be added on to you anyway, but now you will have the peace and the fulfillment and the joy that you want, that everybody wants. You see what I mean? So I feel like a lot of people look at it backwards. They chase the things to get the fruits of the Spirit, but God is telling us that if you come to me, you will get the things, and then I will give you everything else that you are chasing. You see what I mean? So that's like another revelation that I had, or reminder that I had in the past few weeks, just spending time with God. And, you know, I was just thinking about my life. I realized that, especially with what I just told you about the perspective, putting things into perspective of the people who pass away and never achieve the things. When you put all of that together, everything I just told you about redefining my idea of what failure is, and then remaining in the presence of God and being present, with that and everything that I have learned through being intentional about my relationship with God and being a Christian, I truly have peace. Like, I truly have peace in my heart right now. Like, there's a lot of things in my life that are not perfect, that don't look how I want it to look. Okay, I'm still a human. There are a lot of things in my life that don't look how I want it to look. But ironically enough, I find myself being the most peaceful that I've ever been. The most, like, content, and not content in terms of complacence and settling, but content in knowing that if, God forbid, if I were to pass away today, I would be 100% satisfied with the life I have lived, because I have no what ifs, because I redefined my relationship with failure. Right? And because I have put so much trust in God, it's like, if that's what He wants for me, then I trust His plan, like, above myself, above what I want, above what I think I should have. I trust His plan, because in hindsight, even though I never liked the process of getting to the point I am at today, because I didn't understand it, in hindsight, I realized that it all worked out for my good. He had a plan this whole time. I just had to trust Him. And when I didn't know Him, when I was denying Him, when I was atheist, when I wasn't acknowledging Him, I just, even in hindsight, I realized how He was still there and He still protected me. I just didn't know because I wasn't looking. But I know now, since I've reflected on that point in my life. So it's just crazy, but I've been thinking about this. Like, I was at the park the other day. I was just like meditating and just like taking in the scenery, because I like nature. And I was just reflecting, and I was like, wow, I don't have the material things that I thought would bring me happiness at this point, but yet I have happiness, yet I have joy, yet I feel fulfilled, yet I feel peace. Like I'm not afraid of anything. Like I'm truly at a place in my life where I just feel at peace. And all of that is because of my relationship with God, because I started trusting Him more. And I'm not going to lie and tell you that I'm the perfect Christian, because sometimes, you know, I can tell you I trust Him and I do, but sometimes when life be life in, I'm just like, all right, you know, like my trust is tested, my faith is tested. With everything, with where I am, with everything that I've transpired, I'm truly at peace. Like and I'm so protective of that. I was just thinking about that yesterday. Like I am so protective of that peace because I know what it's like to not have peace. I know what it's like to be unfulfilled, to be miserable, to be struggling. And because of where I am now, I'm so protective of that peace. It's like every time an opportunity comes my way, every time I get an idea, every time somebody tries to come into my life in any capacity, I literally pause and I check with God. I'm like, God, if it is not for me, remove it now. Remove it right now. I want no parts of it. Because the peace that I have right now, like I will cut off anything to maintain it. So that's all I wanted to say. I feel like if I keep the camera on, I'll just be rambling because I have like a lot to share. But these are just some of the learnings and stuff that I've had in the past few weeks. So the first, you know, I would encourage you to redefine your relationship with failure. Redefine what failure means to you and change your relationship with failure, because our fear of failure is what causes us to procrastinate so much. It's what holds us back. And like I said, there's other reasons why we procrastinate. And I'll be talking about that in future episodes, because I realized like that's more of the content that my audience wants to see based on what you guys have told me in my email list. Again, join my email list. Get the guide for procrastination if you haven't already done so, or if you want to chat or whatever. But yeah, so I would encourage you to change your relationship with failure, because it's going to cause you to procrastinate and put things off and give you that arrogance that tomorrow is promised. And then also be present. You don't know, it's natural and normal for us to want things, like things we don't have, or to want certain things like marriage or a job or money, or you know, all of these things, the desires of your heart. It's not a bad thing to want those things. We are human. We want community, we want love, we want relationships, we want stability. These are just natural needs that we have. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wanting these things. I'm just saying that don't give those things so much importance in your life that you feel like your life has no meaning or happiness or fulfillment without it, and you view the current season that you're in right now as some type of prison or something that you need to be freed from. Because my pastor said, like, if you view like your single season as a prison, then you will view every opportunity or every person that comes your way as bail, as, you know, like getting you out of a trap. But wherever we are right now is where God wants us to be, because there's stuff we need to learn here. There's stuff He needs to teach us here. He wants to mold us. And I think the important thing is staying close to Him, developing a relationship with Him, and then just asking Him to help you trust Him more and open your eyes to learning what you need to learn in this season, and also appreciating this season, so you don't try to rush your way out of it and then you have to come back and learn what you were supposed to learn here anyway. You see what I mean? So these are just some of the things that I learned in the past few weeks, or like just some thoughts, some revelations that I wanted to share. And if you are somebody who noticed like the change in my content in the past few weeks with me trying to be, you know, like optimized for YouTube and, you know, the certain flow of my content versus what I just did today, please let me know. Like, please leave a comment. Like, today felt more authentic. Today felt really good. Today flowed better. Like, I feel good about this episode, even though it is not like, you know, the typical, like what I was trying to do. But if you've noticed that, I want you to leave a comment and please let me know, like, what are your thoughts? Like, what do you like this type of delivery better? Or do you prefer the other structures? Or like, just what are your thoughts? You know, I mean, ultimately, my priority is to be obedient to God and what He has called me to do. But I feel like people notice these things. Somebody told me that they noticed that I wasn't, that I was posting late and stuff like that. And I mean, I know. Okay. But we are done with that. We are back to regular scheduled programming, but in a more authentic way. So let me know what you think in the comments or whatever. And if you struggle with procrastination, stay tuned because I'll be making more episodes about that. And I also, once again, I have the guide in my bio. I should have the link in my bio on, you know, getting the free guide on the 3 steps that I did to overcome my procrastination and maintain that flow even when those limiting beliefs and some fears might try to creep in and get me to procrastinate again. So that is all I have to say today, and I will talk to you next Sunday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.